I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
More than three decades ago, back when I was a much younger man, I helped a mate of mine move down to Glasgow from our home city of Newcastle. He'd managed to get a job as a football scout for Glasgow Rangers, which was basically his dream career. And so while me and all of our mates were sad to see the back of him, we were all really proud of him too. Now, we drove up early in the morning, and then once everything was unloaded, we had some pub grub and a few lagers, shandies for me, and then I started on the drive back to Newcastle. I'd left it quite late to drive back, so it was about midnight by the time I started to see signs for the English borders. The roads were quiet, with only the occasional lorry thundering past me, and I remember there being some phone-in thing on the radio, but I wasn't really listening. I was in my old Vauxhall Cavalier, an 82 model that I bought on the cheap about 4 years prior. It normally served me well, and it had been running fine all day, but just after passing a place called Jedburgh, the temperature warning light flicked on. I looked at my dash, watching the needle climbing into the red, and swore under my breath as I eased off the accelerator. Since it normally bought me a few minutes, I cranked the heater up full blast to try and pull some heat out of the engine.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. But that time, it seems my luck finally ran out, because just a minute or so later, there was this loud hiss from under the bonnet before steam started pouring out the seams. Seconds later, I heard this horrible metallic knocking sound coming from under the bonnet, and so I coasted over to the hard shoulder and then came to a stop, just in time for the engine to seize up completely. And after that, aside from the ticking of my hazard lights and the sound of hot metal cooling down, there was nothing but silence for a few seconds, until I erupted. I remember shouting, "Are you effing kidding me?" a couple of times, and then, after taking a few deep breaths, I got out of the car and tried to fix it. And I tried it for half an hour, and in that time, a grand total of two cars passed me, but even with me waving at them as they passed, neither of them stopped. I didn't just stand there like some plonker for the whole 30 minutes, mind you. I popped my bonnet not long after getting out, but when I did, a load of steam and the smell of burnt coolant came wafting up into my face. And after waving away some of the steam, I spotted a crack in the top radiator hose and then noticed how loads of antifreeze was dripping onto the road and forming a big green puddle. I didn't have a spare hose, and neither did I have enough water to top it up properly, and even if I had, the engine had overheated so badly that I didn't trust it not to seize up again. Basically, I wasn't going anywhere in my old Vauxhall, and since there were no mobile phones back then, at least none for the likes of me, I had no choice but to walk if I wanted to get myself some help. Now, I reckon the nearest emergency phone would have been about a mile down the road, maybe more, and so I locked my car, left my hazards flashing, and then started walking along the dark grass verge with a torch in my hand. Now, I thought I'd be on the move for quite a while, but then no sooner had I started walking, I came to a dirt track, previously concealed by a long hedgerow, which led to what looked like a big three-story farmer's house. Now, I was so happy that I was literally punching the air because despite the fact that there were no lights switched on the ground floor, there was what looked to be candlelight in both the front-facing upstairs rooms. I felt bad for calling so late, but since the alternative of walking along the motorway was a much more dangerous one, I reckoned that I didn't have much choice. It was a particularly dark night, small moon and cloud cover, so it was only once I got closer to the house that I saw how run down it was. The ground floor windows were either cracked or newspapered over, and there were cracks in the wood too, along with a lot of peeling paint. And as you can imagine, I started to get really bad vibes from the place. But I try not to judge books by their cover too much because you tend to be rewarded more times than you're burned for it. And so with that in mind, and granted very foolishly, I decided to knock on the door. I didn't knock too loud or aggressively. I didn't want to frighten anyone. But when my first knock got no answer, I knocked a little bit louder. Again, there was complete silence. No footsteps behind the door, no talking inside, nothing. But then after taking a step back and looking up at the top windows, I saw someone peeking out at me from behind a dirty-looking curtain. And I can't lie, it did scare me a bit seeing a pair of eyes staring back at me through the dim light. But as soon as I reacted, the eyes disappeared and I began to hear voices inside the house. Now it sounded like a fair number of people, maybe half a dozen, and they were whispering like they were talking among themselves. I heard a little voice in my head saying, "They're awake, knock again." But before I could even dismiss it, I heard the sound of someone laughing inside the house. Not loudly though, more like a muted sort of wheeze as they tried to keep their voice low. The bad vibes that I was getting ramped up to 11, so instead of risking a confrontation with whoever was either living or more likely squatting there, I decided to make a move. I turned around and walked back up the dirt path as fast as I could, looking over my shoulder every so often to make sure that no one was following me. Now, I was quite certain whoever was inside was watching me from those windows, but as long as they didn't follow me, then I didn't mind what they did. I'd almost gotten to the end of the path to where those two wooden gateposts held no gate when I started smelling something strong on the breeze, something that smelled like burning. And then when I turned the corner and could see out onto the road again, I felt this almost involuntary scream jump out of my mouth as I realized what the smell was. It was my car. My car was on fire. Now I suppose I acted on complete instinct in running over to it because there was absolutely bugger all I could do about putting out that fire. All I could do was just stand there, effing and blinding and looking around for whoever might have done it. But as you can probably guess, there was no one, and the whole area looked deserted. And I knew for a fact that it wasn't. When I realized just how much of a bad situation I truly was in, I started jogging along the road until I got back on the motorway. Now, it was only a four-lane carriageway, so I could walk along the verge without being in too much danger, but no matter how much danger passing cars posed to me, it still seemed safer than hanging around my burning car and that creepy house. Now, I think probably about a half an hour must have passed, with only the odd car going past me, and in that time, I didn't try to get anyone's attention just in case it was the people from the home. I mean, the joke was on them in a sense, because that poor cavalier was definitely on her way out, but on the off chance they wanted to do more than just burn my car, I had to be very careful about who I revealed myself to. Now, I was re-bloody nervous for that first half an hour, but after that, I started to calm down a wee bit. I hadn't seen any cars or anything parked outside the house, and if they really did want to chase me down for whatever reason, I reckoned that I'd have encountered them already. So once I calmed down a bit, and after maybe two or three more cars passed me with me sticking to the trees on the verge, I made my way to the edge of the road and then stuck my thumb out at what looked like a Land Rover of some kind coming my way. Now it slowed down as the driver saw me, but then instead of switching on the light above the wheel, someone in the passenger seat started shining a torch in my face after lowering their window. And right away, I knew that wasn't promising behavior when I realized whoever was in the car didn't want to be seen, and I turned and started walking away. Now, a second later, I heard a very promising, "Need a lift, pal?" No, one that was just friendly enough to slow me down and make me think that I might have been overreacting. But then the second I slowed, I turned back to face the car, and the passenger doors opened up and I heard someone shout, "Get him!" Now I remember running right at the trees at the side of the road. Not along the road where the car would have been able to cut me off, but at and then through the trees and bushes at the side of the road. I remember closing my eyes as I felt things scratching against my face, and then when I opened them, I found that I'd come to a fence on the other side. I hopped over it with speed and power that I didn't even know I had in me. I mean, I was hardly some couch potato back then, but I wasn't exactly in perfect shape either. But I swear, I think I vaulted that fence like an Olympic athlete for fear of what might have happened if those men had caught up with me. It's strange thinking back on it as well, because these days, all I do sometimes is sit and wonder why those people chose to go after me like they did. But in the moment, as I was running, it didn't matter a jot to me. All I knew was that those people were out to get me, and all that mattered in the world was getting away from them in that moment. Now, I ran across this big dark field for what felt like ages, running and running until I couldn't anymore. And then when I got to the other side and spotted a road ahead of me, I swear I saw that same Land Rover driving along the road with someone shining a torch out into the field. I had to change my route and head off at an angle to avoid the Land Rover, and along with anyone to my rear who might have followed me. I had to force myself to run when I didn't think that I could run anymore, and even though I was quite a fit young lad and one pumped full of adrenaline, I soon felt like that I was about to cough up a lung and fall over. In the end, I found myself staggering onto a road and then right back onto another dark field because I was too scared to be out in the open with a car full of blokes trying to find me. I kept on going like that until I came across a small town. And then as I was walking its dark and empty streets, looking for anyone who might be able to help, a police car appeared, and an officer asked what I was doing walking the streets alone like that. When I told him what had happened to me, he told me to jump in the car, and then off we went to the police station for a cup of hot tea and a few biscuits while I went into more detail about what had happened. As soon as I mentioned the house that I'd stopped by and mentioned how there had been people inside, I remember these two officers giving each other a look because they told me that the people inside must have been squatters. I thought that they might have been, partly because of how run down the house was, but the police confirmed that it was derelict and that there shouldn't have been anyone in there. They said that they'd head over and check it out, but they doubted anyone would be there. Squatters are kind of like rats. They're annoying and sometimes they're dangerous, but they're not stupid, and they just move on someplace else and then maybe return when things all blew over. But in all likelihood, they were gone from that house for good. I remember asking the two policemen why. As in, why had they burned my car before trying to hunt me down like that? And the first words out of the policemen's mouths were, "Well, what did you see?" He was convinced that I'd seen them doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, and after spotting my car, which they assumed was still functional, they tried to make sure that I couldn't get away before chasing me down. But that was the thing. I hadn't seen anything, and once I'd established that, all we could think of was that those squatters just wanted to scare me off. One of the policemen said that since they didn't know who I was, they might have assumed that I was some kind of bailiff or law enforcement agent. And at first, they might have been worried that I was a policeman, but then when they realized that I wasn't, they must have reckoned that I was fair game for a kicking. And if only to make sure that I was too scared to return. And with nothing else to say, I gave the police the phone number for my flat in Newcastle, and then, since I literally lost everything but my wallet, one of them was kind enough to give me a lift to a nearby train station. It was long past dawn by then, so the trains were running, and I didn't have to wait long before I was on my way back to Newcastle. They phoned a few days later saying that that house was empty, and there wasn't much in the way of evidence tying anyone to the arson. They promised to keep their ears to the ground and would let me know immediately if there was any progress, but till then, they advised me to be patient because things like that took time.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Sadly, that was the last I heard from the police, marking the end of my first encounter with squatters, and hopefully my last, too. I had no idea that those people could be so violent. I mean, call me naive, but the squatters I was familiar with were the hippies who took over empty houses in London in the 60s. I thought that they'd be more into peace protests and drum circles than chasing down strangers. But I suppose times had changed then, and people changed with them. Almost 10 years ago now, way back in September of 2016, I drove all the way from LA to Phoenix to visit an old high school friend. Now, I was 31 and female, but still Hispanic and still small, and I drove out on a Friday and we spent all day Saturday together. Then, even though I planned to drive back home in the mid-afternoon on Sunday, I didn't end up leaving until about 9 p.m. at night. Now, I know, I should have left earlier. And I know what I'm about to tell you is basically my own damned fault for not sticking to my plan. But even so, there are still nights sometimes, even all this time later, when I find myself waking up from nightmares with a cold sweat forming on my chest, having relived it all over again in my sleep. It was just after midnight when I rolled into Riverside County after passing over the Arizona state line. Now, a few people were still up in that area, so it wasn't completely dead, but after I passed the airport and the Mesa Verde complex, the town got super quiet again and it seemed like there was no one but me out there for miles and miles. I was just trying to keep myself awake with some music and by blasting some cold air when suddenly, I noticed a pair of headlights in my rear view. Someone was coming up on me, and really fast too, and seeing how fast they were going, I honestly figured it was the police. I didn't panic or anything, I wasn't doing anything wrong, and I didn't have anything in the car that I shouldn't have, and so I just sat tight, kept my speed, and let them get closer and closer. When they got so close their headlights were blinding me if I looked up into the rear view, I figured they'd pass and keep going. But they stayed put, right behind me in the same lane and didn't budge for at least a couple of minutes. I'm trying to figure out if these guys really are cops, because it looked like they were driving in one of those big sliding door vans. Only this one was all blacked out, like even the windows looked like they were tinted. Now, there was nothing on it to say that they were police and no lights on the top either, so I started getting really nervous thinking, what the hell do these guys want with me? Like I said, they stayed behind me like that for a couple of minutes and then by the time they dropped back a little, they sped up to try and pass me and I was actually super relieved. Now, I thought because they weren't trying to follow anymore, I was out of danger, when in reality, I was in more danger than I could have ever even imagined. I just let them pass, because what the heck was I going to do? But then instead of passing me and speeding off, the black van pulled back into the same lane as me, and then started cruising maybe 10 to 15 minutes in front like it was trying to block me. I thought, oh, big deal, right? Like I could just slow down and lose them. But I didn't think that I'd need to, so I didn't. I stayed right where I was, slowing only a little to just a safe distance between us, and then kept on cruising just like the van was. Oh, I had no idea what they were up to, and I think maybe curiosity really did almost kill the cat here, because when the van's rear doors swung open, and I saw a man in leathers with some kind of bandana wrapped around his face, I kind of just froze up. I couldn't think of a single good reason why he'd want to open the back doors like that, and for a second I thought that he might be planning on jumping out for some reason. I don't know what I was thinking. All I did was lean on the brake a little and put just a little more feet between myself and that van. I just had no idea that I'd moved right where he wanted me. I dropped back a little more, still wondering what the hell these guys were doing and why they didn't have any plates on the back of their van. I then watched as the man with the bandana around his mouth began to smile at me. I obviously couldn't see his mouth, but I could see it in his eyes. That or the dust was getting to him because it's like he squinted before turning his back on me and carefully leaning down to grab something. Now, I might sound crazy or dumb to y'all who are reading this back in almost slow-mo, and maybe I was just too tired and slow or naive as heck, but I could not conceive of what he was about to do next, no matter how obvious it seems looking back on it. And so I just watched. Watched as the guy hauled something up into his arms, turned around, and then tossed it out onto the freeway in front of him. I saw what it was way too late, and I guess that moment of panic really did slow me down. But I had just enough in me to turn the wheel at just the right moment, so that when that old engine block came bouncing up off the blacktop, it smashed into my windshield on the passenger side and not into me. And once it hit, instinct told me to slam on the brakes, and so that's what I did, bringing my car to a spinning, screeching stop. Before I realized that I was covered in glass and there was basically a giant gaping hole where my windshield used to be. I just remember sitting there and shaking after I turned off my engine. And then I got out, walked to the side of the highway with my phone and dialed 911. And it wasn't until I described exactly what had happened as calmly as I could that I suddenly just broke down when the operator told me to stay in the line while she transferred me to someone. And after that, it was a case of guiding the cops and EMS to where I was so I could be taken to the ER. Aside from a few cuts and some mild whiplash, I was pretty much good to go, but I was reminded of just how lucky I'd been by that doctor. The cops had said the same thing, and that's why I say reminded, but at the time, it didn't all the way feel lucky, and it wouldn't for quite some time. I knew I was lucky to be alive, and it wasn't like I was completely blind to how lucky I'd been in that respect, but all I could think about in the months afterwards was, why me? Like, why did they pick me of all the people they could have picked to throw a damn engine at? Like, I know they were trying to kill me. I just want to know what it was about me that made them think, yeah, this is the one. Let's turn her into hamburger meat. The cops didn't find that van or the people inside it, and I don't mean any disrespect to the boys in blue when I say this, but I didn't have much faith that they would. It was a black van, no plates, traveling in the middle of the damn night in the middle of the damn desert. And it might as well have been a ghost. And that fits too, because you know something? It sure as heck haunts me like one. So I used to drive taxis in Liverpool back in the 80s. Now it was great money for what it was. And so even though I only planned on doing it long enough to find a replacement for the job I'd lost, I ended up driving for almost 3 years before I finally gave up. A big appeal was that I could work when I wanted. If I had something that I needed doing in the daytime, be it something with the kids' school or whatever, I could just take a few hours off, take care of business, and then head out on the jobs again at night to make up the hours. And there was no doing that in a factory or down on the docks, not without getting your pay docked anyway. But it wasn't all sunshine and roses, and I remember one particular job where for a minute or two, it didn't look like I was going to make it home to my family that night. It started when a job came through just after 10 p.m., asking me to take someone from Agberth Vale to Anfield. I got the address, drove over, and then parked up outside a small two-up, two-down on a dark and quiet street. I didn't want to beep my horn, which was the usual method of letting a customer know that we were outside, so I gave dispatch a buzz on my radio and asked them to call the customer back to let them know that I was waiting. Dispatch said no one picked up the phone, but then, maybe a second or two later, I saw someone walking out of the house and towards my car. Now, as I said, it was dark, so even though I saw the shape of them moving towards the back passenger door, I didn't get a good look at them until they were sitting behind me. And when I did, I almost pissed my kecks. He was wearing a balaclava, and after he shut the door, he sank down low in the seat to make it harder for him to be seen from the outside. Now he had what looked like a jerry can of petrol in one gloved hand, and then with the other, he pulled out what looked like an old detective gun from his jacket, like a proper six-shooter, and pointed it directly at me.
You know what? It sucks to be bored, but when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He said if I tried to run, I'd be shot. In fact, if I did anything that even remotely upset him, I was a dead man. Now, my only job was to do what he said and when he said it, and if I did, I'd go home alive that night. And so, seeing as I didn't have much of a choice, I drove where he told me to go. We ended up parked up across from a pub not far from the Rialto on Upper Parliament Street, I remember, and the lad in the back told me to turn off the engine and then spent the next 15 minutes or so checking his watch and peering up over the solid part of the door to watch the pub through the window. He kept on checking his watch, and I kept getting the urge to try and talk him out of whatever he was about to do. But every time the words were about to come out, something stopped them. I stayed quiet, and then noticed that when the clock on my dash hit 11 p.m., the lad in the back started getting even twitchier. When I noticed people coming out of the pub, obviously around kickout time, the lad told me to start the engine. He was watching the pub doors like a hawk, and then suddenly, he started rolling down the window all frantically before he pointed the gun out the window, shouted something I couldn't make out, and pulled the trigger. One of the fellas who just walked out of the pub hit the concrete like a wet sack of spuds. Someone screamed, and then the guy in the back seat let out a scream of his own as he told me to drive. I obviously had to stay under the speed limit where possible, but it was tough with a gun pressed in the back of my head every so often, with its owner telling me that if I stopped for the police or took us down any dead ends, I'd be getting one to the back of the dome. The lad directed me to drive all the way out towards Speak to some of the derelict land near where the airport is today. He told me to get out of the car and then started emptying that can of petrol all over the seats after joining me outside. And that was the closest I had got to trying to do something when I realized that I was about to lose my car. I know that probably sounds horrible, seeing as I didn't do anything about him shooting that fella outside the pub, but I wasn't really in any position to do anything back then, whereas watching him pour that gasoline with his back to me, I knew that there was a very slim chance that I'd be able to get the drop on him. But if I didn't, I was a dead man. And so I basically talked myself out of it in my head and then watched as he set my car on fire and then ran off into the darkness. I just remember feeling numb. Less than an hour before, I hadn't even received the job yet, and then just a short while after parking outside that house to pick them up, my life had been changed forever. We obviously didn't have any phones back then, so I couldn't just call the police with a mobile like I would now. I had to walk all the way to a payphone, which took quite a while before I could contact the police, and only then could I give them any details. All I wanted to do was go home, get in the bath, and crack open one of the beers that I had waiting for me in the fridge. But the police wanted me to wait where I was so I could guide them to where my car had been dumped. It honestly didn't take all that long, and I'm grateful the police got out to me so fast, but the last thing in the world I wanted to do was go back to where my car was still smoldering and repeat my story for a second time. But I had to, because the most important thing was making it really bloody clear that my part in the murder was an unwilling one, and I did that by giving them as much info as possible on the man that had done the shooting.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But when they asked if I'd be willing to appear in a court at a later date, I told them, no. Call me a coward, but to me, you'd have to be mental to testify against some gangster in this city. Maybe if I was in London or New York or somewhere like that, but not Liverpool, because everyone knows everyone around here. And they said that I might get asked again if murdered detectives were put on the case and they found someone they wanted to charge, but the fact that I never got that call is the only proof that I need that they didn't catch anyone. I used to have nightmares about it too, proper horrible ones as well. But nowadays I just have these dreams, not quite nightmares but still clear enough for me to remember when I wake up in the morning. And sometimes in those dreams I do what I wanted to do in the moment and beg the killer to reconsider. But no matter what I say and no matter how I say it, he never, ever listens.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.